It's January 23rd, 2021. It's 10:09, 10:10 a.m. And I went an hour and 15 up this particular hill and did a good job. In the steeper section, about 45 minutes in, I was hit with about 15 minutes of etheric amplification and attack in my heart. And the way it works is there's like a the force of the beat is almost it feels like it's double, it can be doubled or even more, and it's like a snapping sensation, and it's just a real discordant snap that the intention behind it is that, hey, your heart muscle will rupture somehow. Normally when I exert myself, my heartbeat is pretty chill. You know, yeah, I can beat hard, but it's not like a perceptible vibration really throughout my body and just pounding in my chest. No, it's a whole lot more, what's the word for it? Measured than that. And it took about she was able to sustain it for 10 or 15 minutes. And what I do is I will either hold my, you know, kumbhaka, a yogic term for holding your breath in your chest and then exhaling slowly, which is particularly, one second here. It's called kumbhaka, I think, and it usually generates, you know, additional prana in the body. In my case, it helps to dampen her effects on me. But hey, a succubus is very powerful, and it takes quite a lot of work to, you know, even see any measured relaxation of her force. And then, you know, and then holding my stomach in, holding my solar plexus tight, even pulling inward and upward into underneath my xiphoid process. That also helps to reduce the force, or the excessive force, the unnatural force, the attacking force of the heartbeat that this girl. You know, when you join souls, Amrit Nadi is, it's a shared space, a shared continuum with another soul, and the Holy Spirit should be blessing it. But in my case, it is the opposite of that, because, get out your violins, but I was not ready for this, and I evicted her, and, well, she was fucking another person, and given her age, I couldn't talk to her, yada yada. It was just a clusterfuck to begin with. But anyway, so I've got the opposite of what should be happening. And spiritual seekers in the future who may hear this message in a bottle, just beware. When you open yourself up to God, you're also opening yourself up to, there's responsibilities with that. And there are social, sexual, subtle aspects to it as well. And it's all very important. And I didn't see this one coming, I'll tell you that. Here's what I wanted to say. There are a number of experiences that I've had on this path in the last 2 years that I haven't written about. I may have hinted at them, but I'm going to quickly run through a few. And then, you know, I mean, heck, Gopi Krishna, he rehashed, you know, a lot of stuff over and over again, eloquently, but it was a lot of retreads on what he said, so forgive me if I repeat, or we'll repeat this again sometime. But One is, there was a time at school, this is about 2 months, within those 2 months before I headed for Hawaii and Australia, back in April of 2019. And major stuff was going on. And so here I was at school, very near to her. And and she's forcing all this energy. First of all, she's drawing a lot of energy from my feet. And so both my feet going up, almost halfway up my calves, it was like they were, the subtle energy was just sucked out of them. And it was, I don't know if I had a feeling of needles, pins and needles in my lower extremity there. But it was definitely a feeling of lifelessness. And at the same time, my head was swelling. And like there was pressure pushing against my eyes. And I am certain, I'm 95%, 98%. My intuition tells me that under auspicious conditions where the astral bodies have merged, your girlfriend, your mate, can see what you see. It was definitely my perception that she was trying to see through my eyes. And now on the end of the, you know, when it's a succubus doing that, it's like a sense of takeover. But I think there's a spiritual merging that occurs with the astral body being implanted and growing and fusing with your own as a man, with the girls coming into you, that your perceptions can become one, which is pretty amazing if you think about it. And I'm pretty sure that it's possible. In fact, I would, you know, bank my integrity and honesty and, you know, my path itself on that it's likely the case. You know, I wouldn't see why not, because if I believe that it is possible, I do believe that it's possible for the human body to auto-combust in spiritual force, light, and dissolve, materially dissolve, that if that's the case, and if two spirits can experience that and be released, then it's got to be the case that whatever you smell, taste, hear, feel, etc., can be shared. It is shared. Down to like the last atom, you know, an electron or whatever transcends that. Okay, so that's one. There's a bunch of others. And then my failures. I've never really talked about them that well because it's painful. And I've been in, I guess, a state of defensiveness, right? But I'm going to mention a few. You know, I always talk about that night and the following night of after my evicting her astral body, that the Holy Spirit tried to light up my body, you know, have my body become a vessel, you know, a material manifestation of God consciousness. And I said no. Yeah, I said no, and I said no, and I said no. And I don't know if there's a dozen. I have to go back, look at my notes, but I'll probably never get around to that. But, you know, there's a good dozen opportunities to do that. And I said no because my wisdom function, you know, that is your Ajna chakra, it was telling me, you know what, brah, there are too many, I didn't have EMF protection, you know, I hadn't set up this, you know, this graphite material instead of the metal box I was living in, I hadn't set up this graphite paint and these other things to these special shielded curtains. I hadn't completed that project for my original bedroom. And so in case there was a massive escalation of EMF sensitivity, which is very likely, would be very likely the case in the event of a whole body enlightenment, that I needed shelter, I needed some reprieve. It was not safe and it was not sustainable. It was not consistent with my path to be living in a car out in, let's say, Joshua Tree National Park or something, you know, which I didn't even have a permit to do that anyway. You know, I have to be working every day. I need access to the, you know, phones, internet, communication, hot water, a fridge, food, safety, everything that's provided by a location that's closer to towers. And, you know, my mom's place where I was is a quarter of a mile from a big ass tower. And so I said no. And yeah, that's violating the rules of the game. But you know what? My brain, being what it is, it's tasked with making the tough decisions. That's what it is. You're making, you know, your brain is there to say, you know what? I see the intuition there. I see the heart. I see the emotions there. But this is the action we need to take for, you know, well, in my case, for, you know, sustainability, for, you know, to avoid being overcharged by electromagnetic field, which could be incapacitating. And I didn't want to risk that. And I just spent a week being, inhabited by a girl who was fucking another guy all the time. You know, and it was just ridiculously distracting and insulting. I mean, on an energetic or spiritual level, subtle level, I felt everything she was feeling. And I just had my wristwatch out. I was timing all her sexual couplings and, you know, the climaxes and all that. I mean, because it was all sounds in my ears and degrees of engorgement and stimulation to my brachial plexus and solar plexus for the most part. In my gonads, you know, all of it. It was, you know, the level of excitation there with my stop clock. And I was just doing hash marks and times and, you know, and just like, God, this is not what I envisioned. And this is not cool at all. And in fact, I said it was spiritual rape. And I did have some email communications with her for about 2 weeks at the worst point of this before I departed for Hawaii and again, Australia. I just took a chance. And there were some interactions along those lines in terms of energetic responses to my emails. And that told me definitely she was receiving the message. You know, and one of them was that she had made a mistake. I should have gone to that boy. Her spirit should have not been plunged into me. And wow. When I said that one evening, emailed that to her, my whole body was like, there's a sense of an etheric blanket over me, weighing on me. She tried to squish me. She tried to crush me with it. My whole body she tried to crush with her energy. It was a sense of anger and absolute, like, no, I did, she did the right thing, or she did the best she could, or I don't know what was going on in her head, except that she was not going to agree to her doing the wrong thing. She did what she did, and she was, no regrets on that, or it was just being overpowered by the anger of my kicking her out and the, yeah, really, the unbelievable, the unforgivable, unbelievable insult and injury of my rejecting her implantation of her soul, for lack of a better word. And that's a whole nother thing. I don't really know what, in terms of a spiritual path, Of course, a girl's able to project her astral body into you, and it can live in there and join with you. But I don't know about enlightenment on her own, or what that whole, what all that means, or if this is just an augmentation on top of pre-existing spiritual potential as an isolated human being. Because obviously, you know, as I've written, very few girls are capable of this astral implantation and sharing. And the two that I met were just gorgeous, physical specimens, sex machines, and astral travelers. I mean, they were just, they're the pinnacle of female sexual, emotional immersion, fulfillment, joining, all of that. And again, both of them walked like cheetahs, you know, like jaguars or something. I mean, there's just something about them. Female predators in a way, but just top of their game. Alpha females, truly. Queen of the litter. All right. So, seeing through your eyes. And, okay, going on now. Let me see how much battery power I've got. Yeah, I'll be able to go another 10 or 15 minutes. Okay. So, let me think here. What I haven't described, what preceded that second trip to Hawaii in July, that was the most painful, about the most painful thing I've been through in some respects. So here I am. This is in, I don't know, first week of July, 2019. I've just been hammered by her. She's, you know, strident heartbeats. And actually at that time, she was able to cause such a, like this hamstring pulling effect on my heartbeat. You know, right now it's just like there's a snapping sensation right now. Well, not right now, but, you know, here where I am at a distance from her, there is still this, a harsh twang or ping that is not life-threatening. Because what I would like to say, which I didn't say, is my heart, this is a rigorous, for me, rigorous aerobic activity for 75 minutes of upward movement, some of it quite steep. And not once, even with for the 15 minutes of her involvement, trying to make it worse, trying to see if I won't rupture, not even a whisper of pain in my heart. So, I'm ecstatic about that. That means, you know, even though I'm 55 and I've been infested for 2 years with this god-awful nightmare of an experience that, you know, even in my dark moments, it's like, hey, man, I have taken one for the team, and this is important shit, and I've learned it the hard way, and yeah, I certainly hope to live to see the other side of this clusterfuck. But if I don't, you know what? This is a game of life and death, isn't it? And it's all good, man. Yeah, I'm kind of pissed. I've never really, you know, forgiven God for, you know, I'm doing the best I can here. I don't think the girl should have done what she did because I wasn't ready. She should have known that. Blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't because of rejecting God that I chose not to be a vessel for the Holy Spirit in the body. But, so I'm a little upset that it's been so hard to get clear of this. But you know what, man? It is what it is. I'm not God, right? I don't make the rules. I can only ask for forgiveness and a little bit of compassion and flexibility. But all right, I'm wandering here. So I'm lying down, early July, and so what I'm doing is I'm kind of meditating as I go to bed. I'm trying to invoke God's rescue. And I'm just throwing stuff on the wall, seeing what sticks, right? And so I am trying to maintain my connection between my Ajna chakra, my pituitary gland, that is, you know, that area, and the various endocrine glands and other important areas of my body. Because the succubus tries to numb them, does sink them all into darkness. That is her MO, you know, to have them become insentient, not responsive, etc., etc. Because as I reflect, always when I would lie down with my feet on the wall, generally there would be a sense of weight throughout my body, and then various glands would kind of light up and kind of pull on my brain with God's help and seeking a greater cascading downward of energy. And so but over time that whole process has definitely numbed out, and I'm definitely on the dark side of the moon, so to speak, right now. You know, there's very little responsiveness in my body to heightened energies now. I'm kind of just a blank slate, and whatever wants to come and work through me can. And, whether it's the Holy Spirit or it's a succubus, I'm just like a rag doll that is thrown around. My glands don't really do a whole lot on their own to defend themselves or to assert their spiritual nature. They're just sort of a blank slate to be messed with, because they've been deadened to such a great extent. And because this energy that she wields, and even takes small amounts of it from my heart to accumulate this negative energy, I don't know much about Reiki or energy healing, but all I can say is that it is the inverse of that. So if there's a healing energy, there's also a hating or harming energy. And there is, because guess what? It's living in me. It is living in me and moving in me. And, I'm not alone with this. I do have some good stuff in me. It's probably just in my brain more, unfortunately, and maybe my heart, or in my heart. But, and so there I am, lying in bed, trying to energize my prostate, my testicles, base of my spine, the different areas of my brain, my thyroid, my thymus, and I'm just directing my attention mentally and feeling a connection and feeling a lock. And when I concentrate on the gland, then I feel like a heaviness and I'm stoking a positive energy. And so I was doing that. And then as soon as I stopped it, or in the middle of my doing that, she came in with her intentions, using however the energy is accumulated in me for her purposes, and was deadening methodically, going to each area that I had been, and deadening whatever small amount of connective, regenerative energy I had reestablished there. And in the middle of what she was doing, the Holy Spirit sweeps up into me and starts a massive whirling in my stomach and in my chest. I just felt it was like 5 or 10% into like a humongous earthquake. And it was calling my attention to my mind to participate with this in a great rejecting tidal wave tsunami of anger, righteous anger, holy anger, holy roller anger. I'm talking about warpath anger. And And guess what? I balked. I balked. If I jumped into the righteous anger bandwagon, which is like, who in the fuck are you? You're out of here. I am with God. Get out of me, you cunt. Goodbye forever. May you be damned in hell. Or whatever it is, you know. Whatever analogy I want to come up with to represent an existential righteous anger. And another car. Hang on. I don't want to be blabbing like this close to people. Keeping that in the car. All right. And so I balked because I had been basically begging for God's help. You know, I don't know. Some kind of help, maybe, I don't know, since March. I don't know. As soon as I felt that my life was imperiled, and I had flown to Hawaii, I'd flown to Australia, back to Hawaii, then back to California, and was taking drugs to sleep, and it was just a big mess. And this girl's power within me was quite a sight to behold. And I truly believed at the time that she was able to kill me. That her strength in terms of the harm she could cause to my heart was in pain frequently. And I felt that she, when God came in that as that vibration that I've written about, that vibration throughout my body of going down about 3 inches deep in my chest especially, it avoided the heart, and it in no way posed a threat to her anchoring in me and the harm that she was causing. And I was afraid that I was going to enrage her and that God would not rescue me. This was just another kundalini manifestation that, though helpful and nice to see, was not going to rescue me. And that it might not rescue me. And in order for me to be willing to really risk enraging this girl and risking death, I wanted to be somewhere safe. And I felt that Hawaii would be safer because, again, those etheric energies that she can use to supplement her anchor in the heart, which is of a more transcendental connection, were about only 1/4 as strong. And so it was 3 days later that I left for Hawaii to try to solve this problem once and for all. And that was 1 week about a week before I, or 2 weeks, I don't know, before I headed to my doctors at the Environmental Health Center at Dallas that diagnosed people with environmental illnesses of various sorts, including electromagnetic field hypersensitivity syndrome, or electrical sensitivity, some people call it. And so I basically pushed, and the other reason, not only did I fear this girl's anger at me for trying to break free from her, because I didn't have faith that God was going to do it, because I hadn't seen any movement to that effect yet. But the other is that the anger didn't come naturally to me, and that could be I'm open to, you know, that's a judgment call. People can, you know, if you really love people and you really love others, and hey, you want to be around to help your mom, then you shouldn't be full of self-pity and, you shouldn't be full of self-pity and you should be willing to put other, okay, I'm losing my train of thought here. If you really cared about others, you would want to live, right? You'd want to live and not just wallow in this sort of special circumstance of spiritual alienation or whatever this was and is. And if you really cared about others and that, hey, if this girl's pulling you away, if this toxic thing is pulling you away from being of assistance to someone and fulfilling your broader life duties, then yeah, you should have a righteous anger because someone is selfishly, evilishly trying to destroy you. And then who would my mom have? How would I be able to help the kids at school? How would I be able to even support the cause of geoengineering awareness and what we're being sprayed with every day or frequently? But that anger did not come to me. And so that kind of, it can, the fact that I didn't feel a righteous anger, you can say that's because I don't really care about others. This is my own little pity party, and hey, have at it. But I think it, there's probably a little bit of truth to that, maybe more than I want to acknowledge, but I would like to think, I do think that the larger issue is I've never been able to talk to this girl, the source of this implantation. I just want her out. I want her out very much. But I'm not really angry because I don't understand the motivations. I haven't been given a reason why. I don't know why all these things have happened. I don't hate her. I am not like righteously angry. I feel she's like, in a way I kind of blame God. I feel like this girl's just fulfilling her little karmic role, but karma on the subtle level. Fully, you know, she's been rejected subtly, and this is her subtle response to her rejection. And it was God who made it possible that a premature, green, spiritual aspirant who means well and who has a fairly pure enough heart, pure enough mind, you know, that I've been in, you know, I was invaded and harmed by her. And I feel like that should not have been possible. But honestly, people are people, aren't they? People are people. People are what they are. And it just points to how you need to exercise good judgment, discernment on the subtle level. And that even though you would like everyone to be a pure of heart, who is capable of relating to others and emerging with others on a spiritual level, apparently just about everything that happens on a lower level, you know, it's not necessarily clarified on the spiritual level. And so a lot of the worst stuff that we're capable of physically, sexually, emotionally is also capable of being reproduced subtly. And that's one of the message that, I mean, we already knew that. We know there have been numerous abusive kundalini wheel channeling gurus. And so we know that, hey, selfishness and meanness and devilishness can accompany spiritual insight. And I'm talking about a couple more things, but the main point of that is a righteous anger, and it was a sensation of really like a cauldron of energy that was waiting to be spun up, and there was a spinning or rotating quality to it. And all it wanted, all the Holy Spirit wanted, was for me to merge with that anger, and then it would have been a righteous expulsion of her from my heart. And it was my solar plexus and chest that were together on this, and perhaps being directed or informed by the mind. But it was a torso, a heightened torso kriya or whatever, not kriya, I don't know what you would call it. It was massive, and it would have easily done the trick. And I have never felt anything remote to that since. I've only gotten a handful of opportunities to break free, and each one's been different. And unfortunately, each one, yeah, and they've never repeated. Because I'm the type, I get to the edge of something, I may not jump, and I want to see it again before I jump. And I haven't, most of these different things that have come up have not been repeated at all. So I'm pretty, it's likely that I'm not going to be able to break free from this without just stopping the spiritual path altogether. I don't know what else God may have up his sleeve, or her sleeve. All right, there's more. Yeah, I'll say a bunch of stuff. This is like 2 weeks ago. The Kundalini sound of, you know, this Holy Spirit ring in my ears was modified, and there was like almost like a permanent lock by the succubus on the lower part of my brain. And there were some other things, but basically, God's told her before, stay away, lay off the dude's brain. His brain has passed the test. His brain is mine. You know, the body is yours, but the brain is mine. And of course, the succubus's hatred knows no bounds. But also, the remnant of her astral body is my entire being. She just has it is her impulse to merge, either positively or negatively, with the entirety of my being. So it's next to impossible to keep her out of my head. She's always poking in there and disrupting stuff. And but she'd gone too far again, and I was miserable. And the sound, God's sound, was a mess. Instead of a ring, a high pure ringtone, it's like a static on a TV of just a static noise. It's different. There's a different quality to it. But and so I think it was like in the morning of like a couple Tuesdays ago, at 6:30 a.m., my right breast was clawed, like 15 like metal fingers going deep into my, like 2 or 3 inches down into my breast, around my nipple, all into the flesh around it, going into me. And I leaned over incapacitated for like 15 minutes. It was a little bit painful, but it was mainly just an overwhelming sensation. And I didn't know that. I thought, wow, man, succubus is going all out again. This is just, I can't do this. This is just, I'm going to be checking out soon. I've lost. Goodbye. Blah, blah, blah. But as day went on, I could feel areas of my back on both sides, my scapulas, both nipples and breast areas involved, and most especially, that sensation peaked that afternoon, or when I was making salad, or like 4:30 or something, I was making some salad, and the longer I stood there, the more I sensed just this energy kind of growing in my chest and back. And I was thinking, wow, this is going to, are we going to go to where I was last June and get to an activation energy or something to get rid of her? But because I was exhausted by work, and I wanted to eat, and I wanted to have a normal life, I wanted to go walking that evening, I decided to eat a salad. But what happened was, I'm passing by people. There were some fingers of energy that went from, I think mostly my left breast, into my heart. And it's just little touches, little fingers going in there. And then I think within a week, this whole little process was like, pow, it was finished. But it was a slap on the wrist, and it made her behave to some extent, but it was letting her know, the succubus know, that she had overstepped her bounds. And that's the only reason why it happened. It didn't happen to rescue me. It wasn't a response to my worthiness of rescue. It wasn't a response to my, austerities. It was just to let her know that once in a while, the Holy Spirit does check in, and if you're fucking with my guy in a way that I have designated as being off limits, then I'm going to, there will be repercussions. And, but it never, yeah, she's been a bit better behaved in some respects, leaving my mind alone for the most part, since then. But it let her know that, yeah, you can kill him, but you got to go through the heart to do it. And the heart, my heart's been very hard to destroy for her. So I don't know where we go from here. So there was that. So yeah, that was a pretty intense, I've never had anything like that in my chest before. And again, it was just letting her know that, I know where you are. You got that little nickel-sized core of your subtle identity is housed in this guy's heart, and I will single-handedly get rid of you if you carry on this way. All right, so there's that. So anyways, going back to July of 2019, with my being gutless, feckless, whatever the word is, not brave, but partly because I didn't feel the anger. I want a mate. I wanted this girl in many ways. And I still have a need to procreate. I still don't have someone to share my life with, a person. And so there's that. And then I kicked her out. Why did she have to start sleeping with someone? Was it because of some time, biological time clock that succubuses are beholden to? Where, you know, she was ready for me when she was 12. She was. You know, I couldn't satisfy that request. I certainly wasn't ready. Certainly wasn't legal where I am. But, you know, she was holding off, and there was great interest on her part to have a subtle bond, at least with my solar plexus. I felt this on a few occasions. It was very intense. The anxiety that would be satisfied in her, her anxiety that would be satisfied through a melding at a distance with my solar plexus. And she wasn't able to do that because I'm not a realizer. I wasn't who I should have been. And I want to say this. Prior to her descending into me, like in the 6 months leading up to that, there was one time a whole week of depression, and one week a whole week, this is like during vacations, a whole week of like suicidal thoughts. And you know what that tells me? I just have to say this because I may never get around to writing it down. She knew who I was meant to be. She knew in her heart and gut, she knew who I needed to be to satisfy her. She knew that I failed to meet her needs. Yet, I was hands down the best option for her. But still, the suicidal thoughts and the depression communicated through my solar plexus very intensely, because she had tied us together, etherically. A girl can do that, all right? That's part of what the astral traveler can do. We were tied. She did it. But it shows to me that her heart was pure or capable of purity, and she didn't want to be in a position of dominance in me. In fact, that was very clear in our interactions as a student. She wanted to be subordinate to me. She had pledged herself to me. She told that to others. She had pledged herself to me and wanted to be my mate. I mean, on such a deep level. It's just crazy. But, so yeah, the fact that it turned into the succubus after a time, it started out with amazing intentions, all right? I'll just say that. But it was an impossible scenario in many ways, given who I was, given our age difference, etc. And her father. Won't say much about that right now. But but she meant to merge. She would have been able to not be having sex with another man until she was, you know, of legal age. Had I been a realizer and capable of the astral, supporting the astral bonding, that can happen before she's sexually mature, before she flowers. And there is a level of existential support that a realizer, a whole body enlightened man, can provide a girl capable of astral projection. There's a level of support that can satisfy her and keep her pants on. I'm just saying that, until the time is right. But I didn't have that, and she may not have had any other choice. So, what I mean is, I don't hate her. And you know what? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I had to kick her out. I'm so sorry that this world is fucked. And I'm sorry that she's incapable of forgiveness. I just don't. I am. So maybe she is bad. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that I was not fertile grounds for her. And so I don't really hate her. I feel sorry for her. I'm sorry. I totally am sorry. You know, because you, yes, there is an arrogance that these girls have. I know two of them. They have really, in many ways, like the power of life and death. They are wielders of that on a smaller level than the Holy Spirit, but they are like mini Holy Spirits. They really are mini Shaktis. So, the anger is something that I just couldn't jump onto. I don't hate her. And I just wanted it to be, I think the handful of contests with respect to the heart that we've had is, she might have a stronger heart than me. That might be part of it. She might. Hey, good for her. Good for her. I had a heart murmur as a baby. I'm not as strong or as perfect as I could be. I'm better than most, but when push comes to shove, she might be a little stronger than me on the heart. And that might be why the couple of times that we've had that major contest, there have been, you know, two that I've written about, I backed off. And it never happened. I never got rid of her. But she held on so ferociously. So ferociously. You know, she's got to have an extremely strong heart. I would say that. I would give her that much. Also, you know, she's a lot younger than me. And now she's, what, 16? You know, certainly got a lot more time and energy on her hands to pursue all this. You know, I'm 55 and I'm working a very difficult job, and you know, my spiritual boxing days are long behind me. You know, I just don't, I'm supposed to be cruising in something I've already built, and I'm just still struggling. So anyways, so I fly to Hawaii. Why do I fly to Hawaii? I want the same experience to come up again. The worrying anger in my heart and chest and solar plexus, or something like that. And then and I would be willing to try it from a distance where the girl would not be as able to kill me. I felt that Hawaii was out of the kill shot range for her. So, yeah, I gotta wrap this up. I'm catching up to people walking animals, and I've only got maybe 15 before the car. So, what will I say in closing? So, in Hawaii, yeah, there might have been two or a couple of, at least a couple more opportunities to break free. And I'm going to describe one of them. I think I have to go back and look at my notes, but I may never get around to that. They were mental, I think, for the most part. So I was in the hotel room crying, begging for guidance, begging for support. Meanwhile, eating the papaya, the pineapple, hiking a lot. For a week or more, I was ready for 2 weeks of this. And I had a couple of opportunities, I believe. And one of them was, I was lying in bed, you know, ready for sleep, or just lying waiting for something to happen. You know, it's like 7 o'clock at night. And there's a shift in sound in my ears. And like a sense of dread almost begins to grow in me. And it's the sound I'm hearing, the sensation I have, and the visualization, usually when important events occur in me, there's usually a picture I have in my head. And this one was, God had set up in my mind a vibration, a presence, a sound that was like 8 scythes or 10 scythes in a circle rotating quickly as they spun on their axis. So like these blades were spinning as they were on an axis that also spun. And my ego, my self-identity was, I was to jump in. Because going through these blades, I would break free. Now notice, it was not my body, it was just my mind. Myself, that little me. And note that in my past, all of my past, you know, 35 years of this, 35 years of this stuff, these experiences, I've always been supported. I've been like in a blanket wrapped around me of Holy Spirit to guide me and to support me. I've never felt alone or alienated or like there was some giant, you know, austere, challenge that I needed to win or survive in order to win, to earn spiritual knowledge. It's always been more like riding a wave. Just jump on and ride and take that ride. Not like walking on a bed of hot coals, or, you know, walking through fire or something like that. No, it was something much more passionate and reassuring, really, in many ways, and powerful. This was very cerebral. And interestingly, I felt the succubus just hunkering down in my heart, not moving at all, not doing anything, just freaked out and watching. She was sat there, you know, motionless for like 4 hours, because she was fucking with me quite a bit, and just was in my heart watching. And because she knew that, big shit's going on, and those blades can come for me as easily as they can come for, you know, I mean, her neck was on the chopping block along with mine. And all I needed to do was have the strength, the willpower, the selfless dedication to God, service to God, submission to God, that, yeah, you will destroy yourself. You will leap who you are, you're willing to throw, 1 second, the guy's coming. I passed the walker. It's so hard to describe this. It's like who you are, your self-identity, and throwing it into the wood chipper. And God was telling me, you may be free. I will free you if you just stick your head in the wood chipper. And it was exactly that. It was a wood chipper. These rotating scythes, super sharp, ready to just cut you to pieces. But what were they going to cut? They were going to cut away everything about you that's not essential. Everything about you that is, every subtle bond, whatever it is, all this stuff. Everything that's fake, everything that's illusory, Maya, all of it. You just have to be willing to jump in. And what did I do? I froze up. And for probably, this went on for 2 hours, 3 hours. I don't know if it was 2 to 4 hours. 2 or 3 hours. Let's say it went 3 hours on where I was full of an increasing dread. Just dread. And that there was no way. No way I was going to jump into that wood chipper. Even if it meant I had to be infested by this etheric parasite. And so what did that... Because it was probably 3 or 4 hours later that the sound diminished, it went away, and then that girl, the succubus, came back out of the heart and started, you know, messing with my brain, messing with whatever area of my body she wanted to go dampen and mess with and fuck with. But for those, to say, 4 hours that Daddy was in the house, she was on a 2-inch leash in my heart. Silent, absolutely, absolutely entranced by whether I was going to transcend myself and therefore break free from her and earn my freedom that way. And I'm like Mr. Tantra. It's all about the body. It's all about, you know, physical satisfaction, using the body as my guide, blah, blah, blah. It's got, yeah, it sounds great. It feels great. It's a great path, but, you know, there's a lot of risk in it. And this thing was about as sterile and scary a challenge has ever been presented to me. And it was 100% not something I was down with, even if it meant that I had to be burdened with this horrifying relationship. So any other ways that I can describe that? No, it was, again, God presenting some etheric, vibrational wood chipper in my mind that all I needed to do was voluntarily step into it. Just jump into it. On the other side was my freedom. But it meant you had to let go of everything. And for the life of me, I could not. I could not. And it was unlike any experience I've ever had. And I was terrified. I was terrified. You know, again, the feelings I've always had have been the scent of Holy Spirit just plowing through me. And all I got to do is just jump onto that descending current. And you are the whole house of, you know, you get the full, what is it called gambling. You get the full house. You get the royal flush, yeah. You get the royal flush with the descending current of grace. And it's such a profound, physically fulfilling path. But the type of steely, determined just unbelievably determined and selfless and brave and aspiring consciousness that would be willing and able to satisfy the requirements set before me that night in Hawaii in July of 2019. My hat's off. I mean, I don't know what kind of person that person is, but that challenge that was presented, that path of escape that was presented to me, was utterly beyond what anything I've been able to accomplish or considered wanting to accomplish in my life. And only the most exceptional of human beings would have been able to, again, step into death. You gotta be willing to die. For God. You love God? You love God? You want to serve God? You want freedom? You're willing to die? Then die. Do it. Do it. Let it all go. Show me. Let it all go. Cut free from this. Show me. Oh, man. My feet were like in concrete buckets, you know, 5-gallon buckets of concrete, you know, just holding me down and back. I don't say that with pride, I don't know. But it was pretty much after that, I believe, I cut my vacation short. It's so expensive a vacation in Hawaii anyway. And so I decided to come home early and, as a failure, basically. And after that happened that night, I felt the succubus expand. I felt like painful extensions of like an electrical charge fill out my heart. So I felt like 5 or 6 little jabs from where she was into different areas of my heart to kind of say, hey, this is mine now. You failed God's test. Your heart is mine. And that's what it was. That's what it was. I came back resolved to just try to survive, 6 months on sleep medication or whatever, and just hope that God would just spare me from dying. I didn't have a whole lot more hope than that. God, just let me not die. I don't think, after about 6 months that seemed to be not workable. I seemed to be on a path to death. And there's only so much that God could do or was willing to do to protect me. So I needed to exercise my own judgment. I knew that I felt more comfortable in other places at a distance from California. And so, I moved, tried to get some thousands of miles away. And that's helped, but it's only bought me time. I don't know what other remedies there might be, except perhaps another fast. But I failed the last fast, even though I went 14 days. I didn't measure up during that test. I'm going to try it again, if I can even get to June. My body's breaking down rapidly. I've got, I just don't know. I don't know what's in my future. I'm not at all sure that I will live to see this negative psychic force in me expelled. It's likely that I will die, but maybe I won't, and that'll be a miracle. Praise God either way, right? All praise to God. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you for this opportunity to learn what I've learned. May your presence in my life be a source of inspiration and chastening and knowledge for others. May all souls who seek you, God, may they find you. May they find your grace. And may they communicate that grace to the people and other life and living creatures around them. Thank you again, God. Amen.